Welcome, everybody. This is Fantasy Football Today. It is Thursday, March 31st. I'm Adam Azer. Hello, Dave Richard.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Jamie Eisenberg.
Hello, Adam. That's what I said.
Hello, you guys Dave. Are like Jamie. Batman and Superman. I got to tell you. Jamie, how was the movie?
We made a lot of money.
Yeah. How was the movie?
The movie was great. Yeah, the movie was great.
Good.
Best bad guy I've ever seen.
I'm sure.
Better than Heath Ledger?
Best bad guy I've ever seen.
Better than Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Best bad guy I've ever seen.
You haven't seen Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a bad guy yet. You can't answer that question.
Best bad guy I've ever seen.
You know, Heath Ledger, that's a good call. Who's the best bad guy of all time?
Heath Ledger.
I'd have to think about it, but yeah, Heath Ledger would be up there.
Hans Gruber or Heath Ledger?
Well, you're talking about strictly bad guy or super villain?
No, bad guy.
Heath Ledger probably would still be the vote for me, but Hans Gruber is pretty good.
Hans Gruber actually had some light moments in Die Hard.
You know what's interesting? I would probably rank Hans Gruber and the Grinch on the same level as like evil. The same genre of film.
Right. Just that they're stealing Christmas. Right. Okay. Last one. Darth Vader or Heath Ledger or the Joker?
Heath Ledger. You know why? Because Darth Vader got played out in the first trilogy. The 1, 2, 3 of Star Wars.
And it's interesting because you never actually see Darth Vader kill people. He kills a lot of people, but you never see it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's part of having the Force, though.
No, he blows up a planet. You just don't see it.
He did not. He ordered for the planet to be blown up.
That would be him blowing up the planet.
Was it even him ordering it? It might have been somebody else ordering for all around.
Don't spoil it. So, listen, we got to get to news and notes because we have Luke Rogers of 24/7 Sports coming on in about 10 minutes or so. And he knows a lot about these draft prospects. He's going to help us out with that. He's a big-time fantasy football player. And he's part of the CBS Sports family over there at 24/7 Sports. A really awesome website that's doing great things. And also, he's Aaron Rodgers' brother. So we get to ask him questions about Aaron Rodgers. Email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll definitely squeeze in some emails today. Let's get to the notes, guys.
Yes, let's.
Cleveland signed RG3 to a 2-year deal. Do you care?
No. Nope. When would you ever... Is this even a waiver wire guy? Would you even... If he started the year as the Browns quarterback and it's week 4 and the stud quarterback you drafted is on bye and the Browns play, they play the Saints. I don't even know if they play the Saints this year, but I think that that'll be a favorable matchup this year, teams that play the Saints. Would you start RG3?
Well, if he's played great his first 3 weeks and there was nobody else available, I would absolutely consider it.
But like those are all the conditions that have to come into play. There's going to be a million other quarterbacks
that'll
be on the waiver wire too.
I mean, the thing that you have to like is Hugh Jackson and what Hugh Jackson has done with quarterbacks. Can RG3 bounce back? Will he run? I mean, Josh Gordon playing? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that have to come into
play. Did they play together at Baylor? I believe they did.
Yeah.
His receiving core was what? It was Josh Gordon and
Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright. Yeah.
Well, that actually was going to be my follow-up question. There? Is this good or bad for Josh Gordon if Josh Gordon gets cleared?
Oh, I think it's fine. Look, they're drafting somebody. That's painfully obvious. So whether it's Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, that's going to be the eventual starter for the Browns. In Dave's scenario, probably by week 6. You know, you can imagine a rookie.
Could be week 1, too.
Right, could be week 1.
Okay. Next news item. Actually, when you said they're drafting someone, I thought you meant they're drafting a wide receiver, which they should have done last year. But Ole Miss
They'll
wide receiver.
They'll probably draft one of those, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's going to be Laquon Treadwell. He ran a very slow 40 time. And I wanted to know what you thought about that, because you love those wide receivers that get taken in the first round. They could be great for fantasy. They can contribute immediately. But Laquon Treadwell runs a very poor 40 time. We had an article on CBSSports.com about it. And the writer, I think it was Jared Dubin, but I don't remember, compared him to other receivers who ran slow 40 times and said, look, you can still be good with a slow 40 time. The only problem was it was guys like Jarvis Landry. It wasn't Julio Jones. It wasn't any stud receivers that you really want to take with a mid-round pick. Thinking like Amari Cooper upside, you know what I mean. So what do you guys think about Treadwell?
I mean, the poster boy for this has always been Anquan Boldin for me. Mm-hmm. Because Anquan went to the combine, had a terrible 40 time, got drafted to Arizona with no fanfare, and then had an amazing rookie season.
Yep, knew how to use his body, knew how to get open.
Yeah.
Still the same case. He's 36. I'm actually going to see him next week. you know, it's one of those things where if you're good, you're good. If you're a football player, you're a football player. And, you know, your speed will, you know, find a way to get out there, whether it's a, you know, 4.4 or 4.6. So, did this help him? No. Is this going to be a hindrance to him? Potentially. It really comes down to where he ends up. I mean, if he falls to, let's say, back end of the first round, second round, and ends up with, you know, the Saints, the Patriots. I mean, you know, any situation where he falls in a great spot.
But he's going to need that quarterback, is what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying that's going to all of a sudden, you know, we're clearly downgrading him as well. At least that's the tone right now, is we're downgrading him because of the time. If he ends up in a great situation, I mean, okay, all systems go now.
Yeah. All systems go in terms of somebody who can give you some decent production. I don't think he's going to come in and make an impact as a rookie like a lot of other receivers.
No, but he could. But I mean, no, you're referencing Bolden.
Slow, I don't know if he'll be as good as Anquan.
Oh, I mean, there's been one guy as good as Anquan. It's Odell Beckham.
Right.
You know, so you're looking at the best case scenario. But could he still be good? Could he still get you? I mean, look, Jarvis Landry was good as a rookie. He wasn't great, but he was good.
Serviceable.
Right.
A lot of catches.
Yep.
That could be Treadwell. The only thing he's missing is speed. That's a problem.
Yeah. It was just really more of an upside question. Maybe more relevant for dynasty leagues.
Sure.
But we got time to we can ask Luke about that. Some tight end news for you. Green Bay signed Jared Cook to a 1-year deal worth $3.6 million. New England signed Clay Harbor. And recently, very recently, Vernon Davis signed by the Washington Redskins. So Cook to the Packers, Clay Harbor to New England, and Vernon Davis to Washington. I'm going to guess only one of these matters. If, I don't know, over-under is a half of these things matter. I'll take the over and say you're slightly intrigued by Jared Cook in Green Bay. What do you guys think?
I think everybody will be intrigued by it, but man, have we seen Jared Cook play like crap in the past few years. And are you going to blame that on St. Louis's scheme or their quarterbacks? Maybe. Maybe you do. I don't think you look at Jared Cook as a guy who's going to break out now and be a guy with, I mean, does he have a chance to score a touchdown every week? I guess.
Well,
but I also don't know if he's going to, I don't know if he's going to be any better than three catches.
First off, the negative is, aside from what we've seen, just statistically, he's gone 19 games in a row without a touchdown. That's almost impossible to do if you're a starting player playing 16 games. I don't care. 19 games in a row is ridiculous to go without a touchdown. The other part of it is, though, Richard Rodgers is not just getting shoved to the bench. He's still going to play for the Packers. And now you're putting Jordy Nelson back on the field. If you were to say, okay, I'm giving Jared Cook Richard Rodgers stats from last year. That's 50 catches.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8 touchdowns. I think he had 500 some yards. That's good for a tight end, but that's not going to be Jared Cook. And so don't automatically assume he's just taking Richard Rodgers' production, because Rodgers had 8 touchdowns because Jordy didn't play. And it's not like Jared Cook is going to be the only guy there next season.
I think it's a good signing for Green Bay. I think it definitely enhances Aaron Rodgers' value.
It is a Packer signing. It's a cheap veteran that can block, that can give you a couple catches, that could be a red zone presence. Is he going to be great? No. Could he be what he was maybe his first year in St. Louis? That's the upside, where he was a top 12 tight end, but it was so fluky because he had a monster first game and then sort of pieced together some stats.
58, 5, 10, and 8. You nailed it for what Richard Rodgers did last year, and that was good enough for him to finish. Where did he finish? Where is he? Where am I? Top 20.
Where are you, Dave?
No, he was better than top 20 with 8 touchdowns.
You're right. He was ninth.
Right.
In standard leagues.
But again, it
11th
was,
in full point PPR.
It was a Hail Mary. It was,
true.
It was somewhat fluky.
This is kind of, I'm not going to lie, this is kind of a boring time of the year for the NFL. We're just waiting for the draft. Not, you know, and if the free agency was great.
It's draft season, bud.
Well, I mean, look, it's the bits and pieces that are left over for free agency.
Yeah.
You know, we're, at least I am. I'm curious to see where Aaron Foster goes, because he's still a name. And he did visit Miami, left without a contract. The reports are he's exploring, you know, his options because he doesn't feel like he's ready yet.
Where do you want him to go? Where would you like to see Arian Foster?
I think a good situation for him, like Oakland, would be perfect to
That's
me, because Latavius Murray is going to still be the starter. We talked about this, you know, Adam, with what Jack Del Rio told me, that, you know, he could be a good compliment. You want to see him be a compliment to a guy. And he could be a compliment to Jay Ajayi. I think that would be good for Ajayi status. Washington, he could be a compliment to Matt Jones.
I got one. Denver.
Be a compliment to CJ Kubiak,
and he's the compliment to CJ Anderson.
Absolutely. You know, he could be a guy that, you know, like Chris Johnson we saw last year. Doesn't have to start. Guy in front of him gets hurt. He'll give you 4 or 5 great weeks, potentially. Good weeks for sure. And then somebody else will probably supplant him if he does struggle.
Well, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers' stock in 2016. I'll tell you who knows a little bit of something about that. Luke Rodgers of 24/7 Sports. Let's go bring him on right now. 24/7 Sports insider, and according to his Twitter profile, burrito lover, which is great. Luke Rodgers joins the show. Luke, thank you so much for coming on. Great to have you. Hopefully the first of many appearances. What's going on today? How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. It was fun. Man, it's fun to be thinking about fantasy football already and thinking about, you know, projecting these guys next season. I know that, you know, I talked to Dave a bit about his fantasy team. And so, yeah, man, I'm just happy to be here. I love talking, love guessing, love projecting on players. So I'm happy to be with you guys today.
Well, we're going to need your help, especially when it comes to the rookies. And actually, we were talking about Laquan Treadwell and his, you know, less than optimal 40 time. What do you think about the slower wide receivers? I don't want to call them slow, but maybe slower. Is this a concern for you?
I don't think so. I think, man, there's an old adage that you'd rather have a football player when it comes down to than a guy that tests off the charts. And, you know, I've known a few guys through the years too that, I mean, look amazing in shorts and a t-shirt, but we put pads on them and guys can't really play. So I think that's not that big of a concern. I mean, obviously you love to have guys that can fly down the field, but Treble does a lot with body control, leverage. Obviously he creates a mismatch, which is size. And I think that kind of trumps any sort of measured foot speed and that importance. So
that's something that you think can translate pretty quickly once he's on an NFL field.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also, you know, I think the 40 time in some ways is a bit overrated. I mean, there's a difference between being 40 fast and football fast. And I think those things show up in the film. And, you know, you like to have a good 40 time. It makes everybody feel good, I think. But, you know, I don't put a ton of stock in that unless it's off the charts crazy fast. And then you've got something that you've got to figure out how to use.
And I agree with you. And I've seen a few of Laquan's games. I think he's got good speed. I think he's definitely got good enough speed for the NFL. I think he can definitely hang. But, like, I got done watching him, and the next player I watched was Corey Coleman, and it wasn't even close between the two of them, just as far as the eyeball test goes. Coleman and Josh Doctson, too, just those two guys have ridiculous speed compared to Treadwell. And it made me push Treadwell down in my mind as somebody who maybe isn't that top 10 type of NFL draft pick and might be more of somebody who will fall between 15 and 30. And I actually like Coleman better.
I was going to say, actually, you know, I'm pretty high on Doctson. I mean, watching,
yeah, he's my favorite.
Yeah. Watching him play and watching his tape. I think he'd be my number one. I also really like Michael Thomas out of Ohio State.
Yep.
I mean, similar kind of body to Treadwell, similar sort of player. I think he's faster. It's tough though. I mean, you're sitting here guessing how guys are going to play. And I've always said the toughest thing with rookies and draft picks is that the most important things are the things you can't measure, really. It's like, you know, how hard does this guy want to work? How much does he love the game? And what's his ceiling? You can't measure that with a tape, you know, with a, you know, a tape measure or a stopwatch. And, you know, you look at guys that test out great and then come out and don't play well. Guys like, you know, Jamarcus Russell. I mean, that guy can test it out amazing, right? He's got a cannon for an arm. But, you know, some of the guys like Chad Pennington with a noodle for an arm as a quarterback. I'm talking quarterbacks because I like to talk quarterbacks here. But, you know, can turn himself into one of the most accurate passers and a 13-year vet, you know, or Tom Brady. God, I mean, yeah. He's wearing khaki shorts and wide white New Balances. The dude ran like a 4. What did he run? Like a 4.5, 5.2, 5.3.
Maybe it was. It's funny to go back and watch it, but it was pretty bad. And then he goes out and he tears it up in the NFL.
Sure.
So if you're going to talk about quarterbacks, I'll transition you to this. I've seen not enough. I'd like to see more of Goff. I'd like to see more of Wentz. But from what I've seen of the two of them, I think Goff is a little more NFL ready, and I'd feel more comfortable having him as my quarterback than Wentz at this time.
So with Hugh Jackson.
I think so too. I don't know if either one of these guys will make an impact in fantasy this year. It's really going to depend on where they end up and who they're throwing to. But I think Goff can probably make some plays. I love the way that he handles the pocket. I love that he can keep plays alive. And I think he's got a good arm when he's on the run. For me, that's who my number one is. I'm wondering who your number one is.
I'm with you, man. I, I know we've talked about this during the combine. Like, I've kind of watched Jarrett since he was in high school. And in fact, he went to Cal. And I'm kind of following Cal more than other teams because of, you know, the fact that my brother played there. And, you know, I went to Chico State, so we don't have a football team. So I don't really have a college football team to root for. So it ends up being the Bears. Yeah, I haven't seen enough of Wentz. My thing with Carson is, I mean, the measurables are there. When you're making the jump to the NFL, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are, especially in Division I. Like, it's a jump in speed. It's a jump in talent. And I kind of worry about the talent jump from the D2 level to, or sorry, 1AA to the, you know, you're not jumping one, you're jumping two levels in my sense. And so in the competition he had at North Dakota State, to me, it's a tough read. And, you know, I'm interested. He's a very intriguing player. But for Goff, I think Jared's polished. Jared can make all the throws on the outside and the perimeter. Like you said, he makes great plays on the run. I think a real interesting guy is Paxton Lynch. I don't think we've seen enough of him. I think athletic wise, he, you know, his body type fits up to like a Joe Flacco, but he also, you know, he can run. He moves a lot better than Joe moves. So he's an intriguing guy. But like you said, I don't think any of these guys are impact players in fantasy this year. I mean, the Browns signed RG3. I mean, he looks to be the bridge quarterback. If the Broncos sign someone, they've got Sanchez there. You know, if the Niners sign someone, apparently, we'll find out tomorrow, but they should have Kaepernick there. So I don't imagine any of these guys really – I don't imagine these guys as day one starters, and I could be wrong. But I think, you know, I think each of these guys are going to get a chance to compete, and I feel like they probably will be brought along. With Goff being the exception, I think the other two guys are more projects than Jared is.
So, Luke, let me ask you your fantasy strategies. We don't really like taking quarterbacks in the first round. Dave, though, has two running backs in his top 200 with his first pick, first two picks. Jamie's got three wide receivers, then Gronkowski, then the running backs. Like, what's your overall philosophy? You're a running back guy, a wide receiver. What do you like to do when you're drafted in fantasy?
For me, you know, I might end up being more of a wide receiver guy, and maybe it's just I become a victim of where my draft pick lines up, but there's only a few guys usually in running backs, unless you get lucky, there's only a few guys that you can count on being those marquee players. And I, if you can get Adrian Peterson, I mean, no one would have guessed Doug Martin this last year. I watched a little preseason. I took Doug Martin. I love, at least for me, I don't know how you guys approach it, but I love to watch all the preseason games. Everybody hates preseason.
Oh yeah. Love to watch preseason. I hate watching preseason games.
You have to.
That's
where you get your fantasy flyers, guys. At least for me, like, you see the guys that are popping even against the twos and threes, or guys that look healthy that haven't been healthy. Like, that's kind of where I pulled things from. And I wish I could have pulled Freeman this year. I had him in one of my leagues. I really didn't see that one coming. But I think that's kind of how it is. I think when you're looking at receivers, I think for the most part, you kind of, it's a safer get than running backs. And I don't, maybe Dave would agree. He's a receiver guy.
Oh yeah. No, everybody certainly would agree with that.
I'm a receiver guy in PPR leagues.
Yeah.
But if I can get one of those golden running backs that still have a shot at 20 touches a week and can work the goal line, I'm not afraid to take one in round one. Especially since I know that there will still be very good receivers left in round two, round three.
Well, Luke, let me ask you.
It's going to come down to wherever you end up picking in your personal choice. I mean, you know, the people that picked Devontae Freeman, Thomas Rawls, David Johnson, Chris Ivory last year, those guys are going to say, I'm never taking your running back early again because their strategy pays off and it works out for them and they play the waiver wire well. And so, look, the one thing you know about taking wide receivers early is they rarely get hurt. They're usually just as good as running backs, if not better. And they provide you some great performances, especially when you can start three of them.
Yeah, right. So Luke, I want to ask.
Play it safe in round one. It's receiver.
I want to ask Luke who he would
safe,
take.
Also being smart.
I guess
it's
you guys aren't hearing me.
I guess
hear you at.
I'm here, dude.
Well, then be quiet, Dave and Jamie. I want to ask Luke who he would take with the number one overall pick. Luke, what's your answer there?
Oh man, it's tough. Le'Veon Bell. I mean, if Le'Veon's healthy, he's the guy, man. That offense in Pittsburgh, especially losing Martavis Bryant, they're gonna have to try to lean on Ladarius Green and that signing in the passing game. But I mean, look at what D'Angelo Williams did last year. They've got a good setup there. Like the offensive scheme, they lost Kelvin Beachum, their left tackle. They've got to figure some things out up front. But I think Bell is the very best back in the NFL when he is, you know, running and healthy. He also ends up being a guy that gets that many touches. That's the hard thing with the NFL too, is you've got so many two back systems. there's only a few guys that are bell cows. You know, the guy is Adrian Peterson, but Peterson, you know, he played well this last year. He likes to cough the ball up a little bit. And I know that, you know, his age ends up being, for me, at least even this coming year, like you wonder, you know, is he going to get hurt? And I think that's why I'm saying, like, it's safe to go receiver, man. I go, dude, I have a keeper league and I keep Rob Gronkowski every year just because Rob's going to kill it. You know, I keep Gronkowski and I keep my brother.
is that mandatory? Is that a mandatory thing? You got to take him every time?
It used to kind of be. Now that I'm doing the media stuff, I'm a little less of a rabid, crazy fan than I used to be.
I'm very confident he's going to win the MVP this year.
You think so? Okay.
Yes.
Now, wait. Look at
who he's throwing to now.
With that said, though, Luke, you need to know Dave and Jamie both have Cam Newton number one in their quarterback rankings and Aaron Rodgers number two. Are you okay with that?
I mean, based on last year, I am okay with that. I mean, losing Jordy Nelson was a big deal for that offense.
Of course.
But, you know, Aaron had his worst year as a starter since his first year starting in 2008. Just there was something I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the fact that he was taking a lot more pressure this last year and not having Jordy as a security blanket. But, you know, I think Cam is probably deserving of that top spot at this point.
Well, it's Cam. Cam runs. You know, I mean, your brother's not running as much as he used to. And it's not it's almost like 1 and 1A. You know, sure. I mean, they're both going to be special. I just think that the Packers end up winning more games. He has a little bit more of an efficiency, you know, situation, not necessarily statistically from a fantasy standpoint. But, yeah, I think with Jordy back, I just was at the owners' meetings last week and I asked Mike McCarthy about that. And he was like, you have no idea what that guy means to our team. Just, you know, the ability to play inside, outside, you know, takes the pressure off of everybody else. It's got to be amazing. I do wonder, though, if you ever talk to your brother about why they don't change the way they run routes. Those receivers, they it's just basically run, turn around, try and get open, let Aaron make a play. They don't do anything creative.
Jamie, you're preaching to the choir here, man. And this has been my, like, as a fan, this has been the bane of my existence the last, like, 4 or 5 years. And I don't know what it is in Green Bay, but you know, I don't know if it's Aaron. Aaron has kind of become a crutch for Mike in the offense, but you're right, man. I get so frustrated too. I don't feel like they scheme their way into advantageous positions. I feel like more or less, like you said, it's line guys up. We've got Cobb. We've got Jordy Nelson. And we're going to line them up and our guy's going to beat your guy. And we're not going to change, you know, our stems or our routes or our philosophy. We're not going to make adjustments. Man, I want to pull my hair out sometimes because there's
– right.
I mean, especially last season. I mean, that's the epitome of it all. Like, you don't line up Jordy Nelson out there. They're putting their best guy, and sometimes they're bracketing Randall Cobb. And then you've got, you know, Richard Rodgers. You've got, you know, and a bunch of unproven. You've got James Jones. I love James Jones to death, but the guy's not fast. There's no one who's fast. And instead of trying to move guys around and scheme guys open – you're still lining guys up. You're still running them 7 yards down the field, and Aaron's still got to run around and hope that he can make a play. So I'm with you on that. Like, man, we could have a whole show on
that. Well, we kind of operate under the assumption that Jordy Nelson was a huge factor in the Packers' offense, leading the NFL in scoring in 2014 and being 15th in 2015. And in terms of fantasy, you know, what it means for Randall Cobb, what it means for Rodgers, what it means for Nelson himself. Maybe they just go back to being as good as they were in 2014. Do you think Nelson's impact is that great that things are just going to be just fine with him back at hopefully full strength in 2016?
I do think that's the case. And you know what? Like, for once in the last like four or five years, Ted Thompson went and made a move in free agency, and I actually really like it. I like it as a sleeper pick in fantasy. Like, I like Jared Cook.
Right. Like a late round pick.
As a sleeper. Yeah. I'm not taking him as my number one by any means. But what that does for the offense as we're talking about this is pretty incredible, because it hasn't been since JerMichael Finley was there. They've had someone who can get down the middle of the field from the tight end position and kind of stretch the field from there and clear out space. And then when you bring Jordy back, we were just talking about it. You bring Jordy back, you've got Randall back in a slot, which means he has the second or third best corner on the defense that's going to be lined up with him, and Randall's going to win that. And then you've got – I mean, the other sleeper on that offense is Ty Montgomery. Montgomery looked fantastic in special teams before he had what they thought at first was a pretty mild ankle injury. Ended up costing him his entire season. But drafted last season out of Stanford, he's probably the one guy on that offense that has, like, home run kind of speed. And you add him in,
More than Jeff Janis?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. You know my thing? Everybody loves Jeff Janis on social media. I like Jeff. Jeff gets lost out there. That's the thing. I think Ty is a better football player, and I think he's right there, you know, 1-1A as far as speed. The free Janis stuff in Green Bay is incredible. but the guy made a few plays, made a few catches. It's one of those things.
That's his strength, right? Like the deep ball, just go and Aaron throws it under him.
It's threatening the defense. It's open things up.
Right. I don't know how good of a route runner Jeff Janis is.
Not good. Okay. Not a good route runner. So that's what if he spent some time in the offseason running routes, that's huge. But the problem with Jeff now is that you've got Jordy coming back, and Jordy does that. Jordy stretches the field.
Right.
Jordy's that guy. And not only that, but Jordy's instincts are like, I mean, he has 100 rating on Madden, I'd imagine, because the dude is just like telekinetic with Aaron as far as where they're gonna be and what they're doing.
I mean, you get Jordy back, Aaron gets better, Eddie Lacy gets skinny. I mean, this whole thing has just
changed.
The line
is healthy.
Yeah, everything has changed. Yeah. Jordy Nelson has just been magic.
Yeah, so this is your argument, Jamie, for him being the MVP of the league.
I also think chip under shoulder, like, you know, Luke was saying, you know, coming off his worst statistical season, you know, people looking at it as Cam taking over the lead, the league. There's also, you know, I would imagine, Luke, you could probably answer this more so than we can, but there's going to be a changing of the guard. Peyton's gone. Brady's another year older. Aaron is now positioned himself, rightfully so, to be the face of the league if he hasn't done so already. But I mean, you know, all those eyeballs that were on, you know, drawn to Peyton and still drawn to Brady, rightfully so, they shift a little bit more toward, you know, Aaron and his star.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. I mean, you try to think of who else would fill that. I mean,
Cam.
I mean, you got Big Ben.
Yeah, Cam for sure.
Big Ben's got the, you know, sort of the checkered past that you wouldn't really put him up as a, you know, and I hate to bring that up because you got to move on from that stuff, but, you know, yeah, I'm with you on that. It's the time is right. It's just, you know, I don't know. I felt like this, man. I remember when the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010. I was there on the field. And I remember all the talk and the chatter after and about how many they could win with this team. And here we are 6 years later. And, I mean, it's great to make the playoffs every year. But, you know, it seems like they're one or two plays or players away from that every year. And, you know, my frustration as a fan, not as an analyst, but as a fan, is that, you know, I just don't feel like they always make the moves in the offseason.
Right.
Fill those. And how much longer can you draft and develop when your quarterback is in his prime and you're looking, you know, Aaron just turned 32. So, you know, yeah, Tom's 38 and Manning was the same, you know, same range, but you got yourself a pretty limited window. And, you know, I wish that they'd make a few more moves. Well, Jared Cook is a good start. Just, I mean, you don't know what you're getting with Cook and how motivated he is or how often he'll catch the ball. So yeah, I mean, yes, 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 and no. I think Jamie's onto something there, and I think that is Aaron's always played with a chip on his shoulder. But if we're talking about quarterbacks, man, not to transition a little bit, but
please, our host isn't transitioning, so you can transition.
Hey, one of my sleepers this year is Cutler. And hear me out on this one. I mean, you get Alshon Jeffrey back, and you get Kevin White back, who was the number 7 pick last season, and Most scouts, most evaluators say he would be the number one, you know, rated receiver in this year's draft as well.
He would be. Absolutely.
You know, and you've got Zach Miller coming off his best season at 32. And if Jay can play as well as he did with Adam Gase, which is a big if, because, you know, I think they've got a really good opportunity to do something in Chicago, especially now that they just signed two guards. So they've got depth. That was their problem up front too. They've got depth at offensive line. You know, Jay's propensity is to try to throw the ball. He's kind of a baby Favre, but try to throw the ball through a wall and you know, and through triple coverage. If he can kind of tone that down like he did last year, I mean, they've got the weapons out there where I think Cuddy could have a big season this year. You know, believe
it's not far-fetched. Well, I mean, not to interrupt you, Luke, but you also have a changing at the running back position. So they may not be as efficient running the ball. And so that puts them in a little bit more down in distance. And he has to take some more shots. And like you said, the weapons are there for him to actually take advantage of that.
But I feel like there are so many quarterbacks that we could say that about.
No, but to qualify Jay Cutler as a sleeper, that's 100%
accurate. Absolutely.
You
know, sure.
A guy you take late round pick, second quarterback for your team, If, you know, the guy that you draft, like, I look at Andy Dalton right now, and to me, he makes me a little bit nervous. You know, the signing of Brandon LaFell is not exactly going to make me feel better about it. Mm-hmm. Andy Dalton's had his best years when he's had a ton of weapons, and now you're stripping those weapons away. And so if Dalton is the guy you draft, and he struggles, and Cutler may not get drafted, that's a guy that could fill the role, put you in that 20 to 22 range consistently, may not get you the 30 range, but Cutler can be serviceable. Absolutely.
I feel like the conversation that needs to be had is if you're going to get another quarterback on your team, who is it going to be? Who is that target?
There's so many.
That's the thing.
Right.
And you almost have to like start thinking about it now and getting ready for it when your draft comes around, however many months it is, 4 months from now, mm-hmm. when you're ready to sit in your war room with your buddies and to name that guy. And the argument for Cutler is good. We should do an argument for a different quarterback a week. We could probably do it. There are probably
well, this is why 10 you don't draft
quarterbacks
them early.
That we could do. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is why you can't go and take quarterbacks early on.
Yeah,
round
but you guys are
two,
too.
Round three.
You guys are too married to that because you let them go way too long. And
well, no,
and
our
no, but it, and it's also because there are so many quarterbacks that I can go get two of them.
I understand,
after round
but there's only
no, but
there's only a few
value.
Truly elite ones.
Yeah, but it's value, Adam. It's like
I know that.
You know, in our last draft, I took Rodgers. I think in round four it was. Now that's not going to happen in most drafts.
No, he
falls there. But that's essentially like, you know, if you're looking at that next tier, like the Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger group, that's like round four. And I think that's still getting good value there too.
Well, let me, as a host, transition here.
About time.
I only have two more questions for Luke. One will be about Aaron Rodgers, but the other one, I want you to strut your stuff a little bit and tell us which offensive NFL draft prospect you'd be most excited about. Obviously, we need to see where he lands. That's going to be, you know, maybe the most important thing. But is there one player coming in this year that you think could have a huge rookie season?
I mean, I think you got to look at Ezekiel Elliott. I think the problem with receivers, and here's why I wouldn't go with a receiver at this point, is it's so contingent on having a decent quarterback there. Like, you know, if Minnesota is going to pick a receiver, which they probably will in the draft, I mean, how much do you trust Teddy Bridgewater to get that guy the ball? Whereas I think a running back, especially a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, can come in and be the guy. That's really my guy in the draft this time. I like fantasy wise, it's tough to project rookie receivers. I mean, Amari Cooper was probably an easy one last year, but this season, you just don't know. It depends where guys end up. You know, ask me after the draft. I can give you an idea of who mm-hmm. I think would be a sleeper, but just standing here and looking at the draft board and saying, you know, who's going to be a big impact? It's going to be Ezekiel Elliott. You know, who else I like too as a sleeper is I like Kenyon Drake. And this is why I know we talked about Derrick Henry, but Drake to me, I think he's going to be a better NFL player than Derrick Henry is.
Wow.
For a number of reasons. I think that, you know, there's a few telling stats from him at Alabama. I mean, he averaged 7.4 yards per play, from scrimmage, which is better than Lacey Richardson, Henry Ingram, or Yeldon did, at Alabama. On average, took him less plays from scrimmage to score a touchdown than either Ingram, Henry, Richardson, or Yeldon, who are sort of our standard for Alabama running backs.
Wow.
And then he's the only running back ranked in the top 10 of the combine for the 40 vert, broad, three cone, and 20-yard shuttle. So the dude's a freak athlete. My thing with him is that he's got to end up in a good place where he can play. But with a guy like that, you got to get him on the field. So if I'm taking a late round sleeper, because I mean Drake's probably what? I mean he's probably between a maybe a set late second to a, you know, a fourth round guy. Doesn't mean he can't be an impact player right away, but I like him a lot. So, I mean, Elliott's my one. My sleeper is Drake at running back. And then a receiver is mixed bag until we figure out who they're playing with at quarterback. I mean, if you get one guy in Cincinnati with Dalton and it's Doxson or Fuller or Corey Coleman, I think you expect that guy to play well. There's only one football. You got AJ Green. You've got Tyler Eifert there. That's the issue as well. I think maybe if the Texans get a receiver in the draft in the first round, that's someone worth looking at. They've only really got DeAndre Hopkins out there. But I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, dude, they say he's one of the most complete backs. And I say they say, but that's pretty much a consensus thing, you know, between draft analysts. He's one of the most most mm-hmm. complete backs coming out and I think he's an instant impact guy. Other than that, I mean, you have to wait and see where the cards fall.
Excellent stuff. And finally, it's been all over the sports headlines here. What's going on? Did Aaron Rodgers really see a UFO in 2005?
Dude, I have never heard that story. This is 10 years ago. Or 11 years ago?
Yeah.
Dude, who knows, man? I don't know if he's just kind of just tongue-in-cheek in this thing. Or, you know, it's funny. Like, the guy he claims he's with was Steve Levy. And Steve was like, he was like the four-string quarterback at Cal. Mr. Football New Jersey when he was in high school. Great dude. Oh. I need to ask Steve about that and what really happened.
You think he'll give you a more honest answer?
Probably. I don't know. I mean, what's going to be next? Is Aaron going to be a Scientologist? I don't know what's going on with that. That was like.
Well, okay. No, but I actually want to know, because what's going to be next? You got John Kasich talking about him being his vice presidential running mate. Oh, like, when that kind of stuff happens, does your like phone blow up? Everybody's like, do you hear what people just said about Aaron Rodgers?
No. It used to. I mean, it's weird now. We're talking like, gosh, I mean, here's the one thing about having a sibling playing in the NFL is that, like, number one, your family doesn't ever get like a manual saying this is how things are going to go. And this is how it is, you know? So it's, you're always kind of flying by the seat of your pants. And then we're 11 years in the league now. And, it's weird how stuff becomes normal. It just it doesn't really shock you. Maybe some of the things he says are kind of like, what? A UFO? Dude, come on, man. Like, what are you even talking about? But, you know, it just, maybe the weird thing is it's become sort of status quo just to have that stuff on TV. I remember when I was in college, Chico State, by the way, Harvard of the West. when I was in college.
Two Chico State references on the show. This is great.
Right? I mean, okay, so the first time I was in college, I also went to San Diego State to my master's there, so I'm a half Aztec, half Wildcat here. But I remember when Aaron was at Cal and started getting on TV a lot, like, you know, you're watching ESPN and he's getting highlights. And that was like mind blowing to be like, turn on Sports Center with my roommates and be like, dude, my bro. The fact that that's like become so run of the mill normal now is maybe that's the weird thing. I don't know.
Well,
you know, it's funny. He's not my brother, but he's like a little brother to me. Is my cousin is Jesse Eisenberg, who plays Lex Luthor in Batman. It's very similar. I can somewhat relate. Obviously, you guys have a much closer relationship, but like I said, Jesse's like almost like a little brother to me. So it's strange how it just becomes like you're used to it, but everybody approaches you as if like you're supposed to be shocked by the things that they say or they do. Sure. But for you, it's still your brother,
right? And you're just like, most things don't shock you, especially because,
right?
You know, we've all got like kind of a funny sense of humor. I think like real dry and. For the most part. And so some things come out, especially in the media, it doesn't always translate well, like, especially like whether it's Twitter or whether it's, you know, an interview, sometimes people take things a lot more seriously than, you know, than we mean them to be. But hey, as long as we're talking about siblings, baby brother Jordan is on The Bachelorette.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So, dude, they took his phone. I haven't talked to him in like 2 weeks. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't heard from him, so he's still in the running. But yeah, I've never watched that show either. And it's going to be, maybe we should do like a fantasy, you know, Bachelorette where we could draft, no, I'm kidding. Let's not do that.
I was about to say, you mean that, do we have to watch The Bachelorette?
Wait, it'd be so much with The Bachelor.
It'd be so much better if you were on The Bachelor.
That was a blind draw. We did a blind draw with The Bachelor here in the office. So
really?
I didn't have to watch it, but like I went home and I told my wife, yeah, we got, I forget the girl's name. But she was like out in like 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and my wife was like, "She's never gonna win. You got the worst name. Why'd you pick her?" I'm like, "I didn't pick her. I picked her name out of a hat."
Actually, no, a friend of mine, she won The Bachelor. Prince was the Bachelor, and didn't go very well after the show. And then we know somebody, Adam. You'll know the guy. He does some video stuff for us. He was a contestant on The Bachelorette, and I think he was Mike Steinberg was eliminated. First couple weeks
probably
So guys, my sister was on the Jumbotron at the Florida Panthers game last week. That kind of counts.
Nice.
Right?
Was it the kiss cam? Did it get weird?
No, it was the Kevin Spacey thing, actually. So it kind of got viral when Kevin Spacey showed up at the Panthers game. There's a clip of her, so she's, you know, that's great, good for her.
Nice.
So I know what you guys mean. I've been getting so many emails about it ever
since.
Dude,
so going up, man.
Well, hold on, Luke. Did you ever watch Slime Time Live when you were a kid?
I don't think so.
Slime Time Live, no. I didn't.
How old are you, Luke?
I'm 33.
He'd have to be like 23.
He wasn't a kid. He's basically our age.
No. Adam's brother was a famous TV
the host of Slime Time Live.
Superstar, yeah, something like that. This this interview is veered into a weird
course. So. I like where we're at right now, dude. We're trudging through the mud.
Luke, this is actually great stuff. A lot of fun. Thank you for your NFL draft insight. We appreciate it, and we hope to have you back on.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks, Luke.
Dude, anytime, guys.
Luke Rogers, 24/7 Sports Insider. The Luke Rogers on Twitter, at The Luke Rogers. Give him a follow. That was an awesome interview. I want to thank Luke Rogers so much for coming on, and we definitely have to get him back on after the NFL draft. All right, let's read some emails at Fantasy Football.
I feel like he and I bonded a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. Famous relative.
I was going to say, like, you guys.
Well, no, also, he rightfully so. He's on the Aaron Rodgers for MVP train.
Should that was a surprise to me. I was surprised to hear that, Jamie.
Yeah, no, I was surprised, too.
I was going to mention that my mom's a famous author.
Yeah. She wrote
Naughty Nana, children's book.
That's right.
Available at palmcirclepress.com.
That's right.
We all have famous people in our lives.
That's true. I have Dave Richard, too.
That doesn't count.
It doesn't.
Someone found me at MSG last week.
Oh, yeah. That...
Like the arena or the bad stuff for Chinese food?
The arena.
Okay.
You can find me on the other one, too.
Made with Dave Richard. All right, listen.
So, Jim, that guy was in the Blue Jays hat. What's
Jim
up?
From a city of Dave's choice. City of Dave's choice.
Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, Jim says he is coming and he is hungry. Lex Luthor.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Or Dave Richard. the question, dear Clark, Bruce, and Lex, 10-team standard scoring keeper league. I get to keep one player for this season, only for the round they were picked last season. Who should I keep? Julio Jones in the second, Hopkins in the fifth, Langford in the 17th, Kelvin Benjamin, Deion Lewis, both in the 17th as well. So Julio Jones in the second, Hopkins in the fifth, or 17th round pick for Jeremy Langford, Kelvin Benjamin, and Deion Lewis.
I'm leaning towards Hopkins.
Hopkins is great value.
Like, he's got the edge in value over Julio.
Without a doubt. Although Julio's great value in round two. I mean,
there's no question, but I think there's a little more value in Hopkins.
The one thing would be is Jeremy Langford named the starter for the Bears and nobody else is brought in? And B, is Kelvin Benjamin 100%? Because that value is just ridiculous because Benjamin could easily be a top 10 receiver. I mean, look, if Ted Ginn can catch 10 touchdowns, Benjamin, 2 years, you know, removed from a great rookie season, can catch potentially 10 touchdowns. So, I think you're looking at a good situation there, but I would probably lean toward Hopkins too.
Ryan from Canada has a keeper question. No penalty for a round drafted, non-PPR, but bonus points for rushing and receiving yards. And can start a second quarterback in flex. So it's basically, you know, pretty much a two quarterback league. Keep four. Derek Carr. Derek, right? Not David. Derek Carr.
You don't want to keep David Carr.
Andy Dalton. Thomas Rawls. Alfred Morris, DeAndre Hopkins.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, right. It says Morris, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, Jordy
Devontae
Nelson,
Parker.
Devontae Parker, and Tyler Eifert.
Keep I would four. Look at Jordy for sure, Hopkins for sure, Rawls for sure, and you can start second quarterback in the flex. I think you can get one of those guys back, if not both of them. Give me Tyler Eifert as the fourth keeper.
I'm going to go with Hopkins, Jordy, Eifert, and
Rawls. You got to go with Rawls. Yeah, we agree.
I'm keeping Carr.
All right, Adam, we're on the clock here on Fantasy Baseball Draft.
Fantasy Baseball Draft. I heard you are on the clock.
Five picks have been, and we have keepers as Josh Donaldson,
I don't even know
Carlos
who else these
Correa,
people are.
And Danny Salazar. So the first five picks were, it's AL only points league, 10-team league. Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera, David Price, Corey Kluber, and Jose Bautista. So my two top choices would be Carlos Carrasco, one, Felix Hernandez, two.
And what are the other options?
Cole Hamels, three.
Carlos Carrasco.
Or Mookie Betts, four, but I would put him.
You don't want Felix?
Ooh.
I think it would be kind of fun to have Felix.
He's I mean, Betts is the best player there. But you. So if you like your... If you want a hitter...
We want a pitcher.
It's between Felix and Carrasco.
Yeah, I would take Carrasco, but I can't.
What's the downside of Felix?
He had a bad, you know, for his standards, a bad year last year. He's got so much mileage on the arm. His velocity is, you know, down, but he's still been a great
pitcher. What if we already had a Cleveland Indians pitcher on our team?
Doesn't matter. They have the best rotation in the top three best.
Yeah, but what's their lineup like?
Doesn't matter.
It's fine.
Carrasco, I'm telling you.
I want wins. You want Carrasco?
Yes.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'll take Carrasco.
You want wins? They're a trendy bet to win the AL Central. They'll be pretty similar to Seattle. All right. Last
email.
You
said that last year, though, and they stunk.
Who?
The Indians.
Yeah, Carrasco was awesome last year.
Yeah, he was good. But the Indians were terrible.
Yeah, they were bad. They were disappointing. All right, Zach in a suburb in Iowa. It says, Dear Jesse, Kevin, and Gene.
Well, this would be a Lex Luthor reference.
Oh, right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
People who played Lex Luthor.
I have the 9th pick in a 10-team PPR league. I have the option of keeping two of the following with a one-round penalty each year you keep them. So, Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham in the first, Le'Veon Bell in the second, Greg Olsen in the 7th, Doug Martin in the 9th, Ivory in the 12th, Tyler Lockett in the 15th.
How many keeping?
You have to pick two.
Le'Veon's easy.
And a 10-team PPR. Yeah, and so you take one of the receivers in round one.
You take Antonio Brown. You lock in your Steelers.
Yeah, I think he's the way to go if you're in a PPR.
Or standard.
Nah, I didn't like what I saw last year from Antonio Brown when Roethlisberger went down. That is the sole thing that is going to keep me from taking him over Odell Beckham in a non-PPR.
Fair enough.
Okay,
and
good,
I think the Giants are going to have to throw a ton.
Look, I can't wait to talk about that with you next week, Dave. Excellent teaser. But
thank you.
That's the end of today's show. I want to thank Luke Rogers for coming on again. And Dave and Jamie, enjoy your draft, guys. Good luck.
I won't know what I'm doing in the draft. I just want to get one White Sox player.
Dominate. We are. We're going to get Carlos Rodon.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we get him in round three, or is that too soon?
Too soon.
I don't like drafting with Jamie.
Wait.
Hold on, Adam. Dave admitted to this yesterday because we were talking about Tyler White, and he looked at some research and saw he's like, round five, Tyler White. And he admitted to thinking football in relation to baseball, like when a guy gets hot. No, a guy gets a lot of popularity.
That's what I meant when I said hot.
Sorry.
Not when, like he becomes handsome.
Right. But I thought you meant like playing-wise. When you have to draft him right away. I'm like, but hold on. Thankfully, Dave's his next Al Melchior, who is our Bible and all this.
So, like, Jamie, if our fantasy baseball team was an automobile and we're on a road trip, Jamie's driving, and I'm the guy sitting shotgun going, let's go here, let's go there, let's go here, let's go there, let's go there right now. And Jamie's like, no, this is the way to go.
You know, the funny thing is Adam
because
and
I don't know any of these
Adam
guys.
And
I don't watch baseball.
Adam and I share a team, and I'm probably more you, and he's definitely more me, where I'm like, let's take this guy, and he's like, no. Let's take this guy, no.
It's more like... You know, a guy will have a really good start or something, and Jamie will text me his name with a question mark. Like, should we pick him up? I'm like, let's relax here. We don't have to pick up everybody every time they have a good start. So
I wonder what it would
restraint.
Be like if we actually had to sit and do a football draft together and put together, like, even the three of us, where we have to work together to
Adam would never
one
take an injury
team.
Risk guy.
It wouldn't go well at all.
That's almost worth trying to do on a podcast in August.
It would be, we should,
I agree.
We should buy into one of those big time leagues and,
or we could just
draft.
We could just do a league with our podcast listeners where we all three share a team and then we have 11 other
either
people.
Either one. I think people would get a kick out of that.
That would actually be fun. We should do the three of us share a team, do a draft with podcast listeners. And so we pick 11 other people and the three of us have to debate the one pick that we make each time.
Yeah, and I feel like we'd have to, because I did a league with Nando.
Oh, it would take forever to make a pick.
I did a league with Nando a couple years ago, a baseball league, and he and I just did not see eye to eye at all, so we basically alternated picks, and it almost ruined our friendship. I was so mad.
Did it ruin your friendship also?
Yeah, it ruined it. All right, we got to go. Heath and Chris Towers are about to do a Daily Fantasy Live podcast, so stay tuned for that. For Dave Richard, Jamie Eisberg, Luke Rogers, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.